why you should stay in marriage. Reasons why you should stay in marriage, even though your marriage may be difficult. I'm going to give you 9 reasons in the next 45 minutes, and then we'll pause and process them together. And then Reverend Mayon will come in with the closing session. We have many more messages to give, but time is gone. And so we do not want to give you an information overload, but just to be able to scratch a little bit deeper onto the surface. The first reason we should stay in a difficult marriage, we should stay in marriage, even if it's difficult, is that you all have prisons. Some people feel imprisoned in their marriage and they want to jump out. But let me challenge you. Some of you are prisoners of a nagging temper or nagging temptation. Some of you are prisoners of a tormented past, prisoners of sickness or poverty, loneliness and addictions. And a struggling marriage is just one of those. Instead of trying to escape, why don't you take the bull by the horns and talk to the Lord about it? You see, friends, when you observe other people's marriages flourishing, it is because they are putting work into them. The grass that's green on the other side is being watered regularly. A garden which is not tended ends up growing weeds. We do not have to plant weeds. All we have to do is to neglect taking care of the garden. In Matthew 13:28, the scripture says that the enemy came in and planted some weeds while the farmer was asleep. We need to be vigilant, we need to be sober, because a flourishing marriage and a good Christian family is a picture of how God functions in the universe. Therefore, we have an enemy, and our enemy is vicious. We want to be careful not to give the enemy opportunity to destroy us. But let me also add that many of the things that we accuse the enemy of are often our own responsibilities. God asked Cain to take care of his anger. There was no mention of enemy in there. So a lot of issues that we spend overnight prayers on are issues of obedience on our part. And we need to identify what's my responsibility and what must I trust God to, and go ahead and sort that out. When Paul was in prison, he had a number of options on his hands. He could have spent all night asking God to release him from prison. But instead, he spent time worshipping the Lord. So much so, that even when the chains fell off, and the door swung open, and the jailer thought they had escaped, and the jailer was about to slay himself, Paul says, "Hold it, we are still here." What a chance to escape. There are others who had left prison. We know Peter, when the door swung open, he left. But when Paul is there and the doors swing open, he takes opportunity of the open doors to lead the jailer to Christ. The jailer was shocked when he found that Paul and his colleagues were still there, even though they had a chance to escape. He kept trembling and asking, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, you and your household." So being bound to an incompatible partner does not have to stop us from worshipping God. Paul worshipped the Lord, thanking him and experiencing his peace. And in the midst of that, the purpose for which he was called by God was being accomplished even in prison. When you divorce, you exchange one prison for another. So before you take that seriously, think about it. Bitterness and unforgiveness resulting from a break in marriage would create new traps for you. Remember our illustration yesterday? Stones and bars and glass do not build prisons. It is people who build them. So you choose to take your building blocks and build a flourishing marriage instead of complaining about your prison. Number two, difficult marriages can build our character. How so? We all hate suffering, but without it, we cannot be shaped into the type of person God wants us to be. In James chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, the scripture says, "Ask us to rejoice when we are faced with suffering, because we know that the testing of our faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." There's a maturity that only comes when we endure hardship. So if your marriage is struggling, ask yourself, in what way does God want me to mature? Stop pointing fingers at your spouse and point them back at yourself. In what way does God want me to mature? King David lived a life of warfare, moving from one battle to another, running away from Saul. But when he died, he was worshipping the Lord, and he ignited a whole revival in Israel. By contrast, Solomon inherited a very peaceful kingdom. He enjoyed peace and wealth wherever he went. He had everything he wanted. But as you read the book of Ecclesiastes, we have a picture of a frustrated old man who is having struggle in his walk with God. Remember that the wisdom that Solomon had was a gift from God, and gifts do not transform character. A walk with God transforms character. In Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 to 12, verse 1, the scripture says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood. Let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Enjoy the impulses of your heart and desires of your eyes." And if we stop there, we'd be thinking the scripture is encouraging us to live a good life. But Solomon goes on to say, "Yet know that God will bring to judgment for all those things." So remove grief, remove anger from your heart, put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting. This theme of removing grief and anger is throughout scripture. It is throughout scripture. Because when you don't remove them, they grow into a huge tree, and the fruit of anger is very destructive. He goes on to say, the conclusion, when all has been heard, is this: fear God and keep his command. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. This is the journal of a man who is reputed to be the wisest man in the world, who made huge mistakes, and at the end of his life is giving some advice from his life. In Romans 5:3-5, which we saw earlier on today, the scripture says, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering." Not after our suffering, not before our suffering, but while we're in it. A difficult marriage can make one suffer. But God is saying, in the midst of that, you can still rejoice. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, not after we stopped sinning, while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. God gets involved with us in the midst of our issues.
So, in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Many of us are looking at character and hope as an end product. This is the path that leads to it. So if you're having a difficult marriage, ask the Lord, what character do you want to build in me? This woman that you've given to me, she is my helper. How are you going to use her to build my character and to give me hope? So instead of complaining, we need to know, here's a key word, we need to know that the suffering we are going through will not lead us to despair, but rather will build our character. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given to us. So you be the strong one. You be the believer that steers this difficult marriage through difficult times with God on your side. You be the one that's going to do that. Number three, difficult marriages strengthen our prayer. God wants people to stay married, and He says He hates divorce, and yet marriage is not particularly easy for some people. When we cry out to God in our difficulties, God steps in. During our darkest moments, God understands our feelings and will help us. And when forgiveness is hardest, the rewards of doing it will be great. Christ Himself says, "He who is forgiven much, loves much." In Isaiah 64, verse 4 to 5, it says, "No eye has seen a God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. You come to help those who gladly do right." People in struggling marriages are often forced to spend extended time with God. Just be sure that extended time is not spent complaining about your spouse, but rather asking God to build your character in the situation of your spouse. Your marriage will be undeniably better when you pray. You pray for and pray with your spouse. Pray about everything in that marriage, but keep looking at your contribution in it. Number four, staying married teaches us how to forgive. Marriage should teach us how to seek and how to grant forgiveness. In Luke 7:47, "Her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little, loves little." A struggling marriage gives you plenty of opportunities to forgive much. It is true. A struggling marriage gives you plenty of opportunities to forgive much. Just be sure that you are not the source of the struggle. Work on your walk with God. Do everything you can to minimize the struggle and make the marriage thrive. But do not give up on it just because it's struggling. It gives you a chance to forgive. You see, if I put my spouse in the place of God, then when he or she fails me, I become totally crushed. But if I see my spouse as a gift from God, as part of my walk with God, someone who can test my love for God on a regular basis, then I'll be able to forgive her when she seriously disappoints me. Supposing you are a rough stone, and God wanted to work on your rough edges to make you into a smooth person, what kind of spouse do you think He'd give you? Yes, one who will help brush off those rough edges. So the more you think I've got the wrong wife, the more you should take a look at yourself and ask yourself, what is God up to? Maybe those rough edges of stubbornness require that kind of spouse to help you. This partner is your helper from the Lord. Number five, there is a way that seems right,
But the end of that way is often the way of death. A quick escape is not always the right way. There may be reasons for a marriage to end, but all I'm saying is that don't be quick to rush at that. Evaluate very, very carefully. A difficult marriage can seem like a mistake, but it may not be. A spouse may be the best person to teach us to die to self. Proverbs 14:12. A way that seems right, but a way that ends in death. While walking away from your marriage may seem like the logical conclusion of a difficult marriage, it may shortchange the good results that God wants to produce in you. So before you make the decision to walk away from marriage, be careful. Go back to the Lord and find out what He wants you to do. Number six, some may say feelings have faded away. I do not love her anymore. Well, bitterness and resentment may make it difficult for couples to love one another. But Christ says, all things are possible. Remember, the disciples had said, if this is how marriage is, it is better not to marry. They had said that. And Christ says, yeah. There are some who can take it, but some can't. Paul says that if you marry, you will face a lot of issues in life. So it is true you are walking along a difficult path, and yet a path that God has ordained. So submit your feelings to God. Allow Him to override the bitter desire of the moment, and see how hatred can be turned into love. Think about Paul's conversion. On his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, he meets Christ and makes a roundabout turn and begins to go to build the very people he used to kill. What happened to Paul? He met Jesus. He had a good look at Jesus and he decided, Christ is right, I am wrong. In many of these difficult marriages, one or both spouses need to have a good encounter with Jesus and begin to see life as it really is. If you find yourself constantly blaming your spouse, be careful. For when the Lord begins to tell you that half the problem is yours, you should be able to accept it. You know, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18, it says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If you recall our previous message, we had a whole number of list of fears that we go through. Fear of abandonment, fear of condemnation, fear of being scorned. As long as we live in the sight of those fears, as long as we let those fears thrive within us, it becomes very difficult to simultaneously love. Because there is no fear in love. Therefore, we must work on our fears and allow love to thrive. The two do not coexist. So begin by identifying the fears. Work on those fears. That will not happen overnight. And see that the weeded garden begins to produce a crop of love. Number seven. Your marriage should not be your entire life. Ephesians 2:10 says you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. God may bring relief in a bad marriage through outside occupation or specific calling. The fact that you're a good preacher and teacher and you come back home to a nagging wife does not mean you should stop being a blessing to the body of Christ. Do not run away from home because your wife is difficult. Do everything you can to build that marriage. But do not be consumed to the point of being unproductive in your walk with God. Number 8. I can choose to see what is good in my spouse. That's the choice we make. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all situations. You have a choice where to focus. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. Now, you see this word. If there is any excellence, however little it is, even if there's a little bit of it, if there's anything worth your praise, however small it is, the Bible says, think or dwell on these things. We have a choice. In the example yesterday of the child who comes in with 85% in math, we have a choice to commend him for his performance or to ridicule him for what he's lost. The child's self-esteem will be built depending on how we approach that child. So we have a choice in how to respond. Does your wife do 50 things badly? Why not focus on the 2 things she does well? Does your husband do 40 things badly? Why not focus on the 3 things he does well? The Bible commands us to dwell on the positive and build them up. Was David, King David's life altogether positive? No. He had many issues in his life. But King David was also quick to ask God's forgiveness when he was in trouble. There were times he prolonged it, like the case of Bathsheba. But when God summarizes his life, he sees him as a man after his own heart. He's not a sinless man, but he's a blameless man. Quickly bring his sins before the Lord. There are no sinless people, but God has called us to perfection and he wants us to be blameless before him. It's a standard we strive towards. We fall many times along the way, but we never give up. We continue walking. Number 9, and lastly, God's purposes transcend your personal comfort. You've heard Reverend Mayon say over and over again, does God want you to be happy? God's purposes transcend your personal comfort. God is not primarily working for your comfort. He is working to fulfill his will. Your comfort is important to God, but he'll fulfill his will in spite of it. When he asked Ezekiel to lie on one side of his body, on the left side, for 390 days, that wasn't funny. That was not funny. But God was doing it to accomplish his purposes. When he told him to cook his food on human dung, Ezekiel says, please have mercy on me. And the Lord had mercy on him. But the Lord was trying to fulfill his purposes and communicate a particular message. His purposes far outweigh your personal comfort. So before you throw in the towel and say, this marriage is over, think twice. Think again. Perhaps God wants to use that difficult marriage to build up your character and to place you in a position to help others. But remember, if you are the reason for the difficult marriages, you are responsible to change. Stop pointing fingers at your spouse and start walking with God. I know I've gone through that very, very quickly. It's designed to stimulate you. I'll take questions. If I've not upset you too much.